Now I have the great pleasure of introducing my bud, T.C. Cannon. Come on up, girlfriend. Come on up. I have several things to say about her quickly, but I must. I won't go into our story.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't go into that. It would take way too much time. Anyhow, I was thinking about it. I think 24, maybe 25 years ago.
Yeah.
We met in California. So we've done a lot of life together. TC is now an author. She's a GCA right here on campus, one of the Bible teachers, which is awesome. She's been teaching studies here for years, but she specifically hosts and teaches the Evening Wednesday study here. And when I was attending just last Wednesday, I will tell you, it is categorically, if I could say that word correctly, categorically, the most intimate, large group of women's Bible study I have ever been to in my life. Like 70 women, all being entirely transparent, because that's TC's nature. She just gives us her insides. So anyhow, would you please welcome my buddy and friend and radical teacher, TC Cannon.
Thank you. Hello. Well, I want to start by first thanking the worship team and Allison for blessing us with such an amazing start to the night. And also, I just want to thank Sarah and Donna Boone for the hours, I mean literally hours, of prayer and work that's gone into this for us tonight. So I just want to thank them. Thank you. And I want to thank them for letting me be here with you all tonight, because that's super fun for me and I'm really blessed about it. So I'm going to start by answering a question that I get frequently, and that is, where did you get your name? Did anybody wonder that at all? Okay, a few hands. Where'd that name come from? Well, I got my name from a 19-year-old hippie. She's not 19 anymore, but she might be right there in the third row. My mom had, I guess, a nightmare one night that she had named me something common, and I had gone to school the first time. Yeah, horrible nightmare. Can you imagine the dread of the horror? But she had, in her dream, in my classroom, the teacher called my name, or the name that she was dreaming of, and like 20 girls went forward. So that's when she decided to make up a name for me. She made it up. And I'm okay with it now, but I will tell you that my childhood was riddled with disappointment, especially at the mall kiosks when you're looking for a keychain or, you know, something that's got your name already on it. That never happened for me. So I'm really excited about the internet now, how you can special order everything with your name on it, even a Diet Coke can. So I'm really excited. I do love my name now, but it had its moments. But thank you, Mom, for that. I tried to make up a name when I was about to have children, and it just didn't go well at all. So I really do have a lot of respect for that. Okay, so to get started, I'm actually going to conduct a test, because I need to determine whether you all have a certain capability or not. Okay? So take a deep breath to let it out. You're going to be all right. Everybody's like, oh no, it's coming. Here's the test. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to show you a few slides, and on the slides you're going to see two pictures. And what I want you to do is decide which one you would want. Okay? So let's go ahead and take a look at slide number one. Which one would you want? Okay. Got it? Everybody got it? Okay. How about slide number two? Hey, I know which one. I don't even have to think about that one for more than a second. Okay, slide number three. It's okay if you want to admit that the armadillo purse is really cute. It is actually kind of weird, but okay. Raise your hand if you were able to decide on all three of the slides. Raise your hand if you were able to do that. That's fantastic. That means that you have all passed. You all passed the test. And the results show that you all have a fully functioning chooser. you're capable of choosing, which is good news because that means you shouldn't have any trouble at all with this next slide. Where's the claps and the laughter on that? Yeah, I would say truth all the way, totally truth. But I wonder if like a random spot check of my life would reveal that I always choose truth. I wonder if like somebody could come up here and was able to lift my head and peer in, if that's all they would see. Or maybe you, maybe the gal next to you, if she could somehow pop the top of your head off, which would be really disgusting. But if she could do that and she looked in right now where you're sitting tonight, would she see only truth? Or would she have to sift through some lies? I know it's kind of a goofy test, and I know that we aren't going to typically be offered the opportunity to choose a new van or a new sports car. Darn, I'd love a new van, but I picked van. Anybody else pick van? You can admit it. But one thing I do know is that we are going to, every single day of our lives, be presented with truth and be presented with lies. And our Heavenly Father gives us the freedom to choose. Yeah. And the word choose, just to let you know what that actually means, is to decide that a particular person or thing is the one that you want. Simple. It's not a complicated task. It's not nearly as complex as like solving an algebraic equation. So it's a simple task, but it's not always easy, is it? It's not easy because sometimes the options that we have very weighty consequences. Sometimes we have emotional ties to them. And sometimes when we make a decision, when we're choosing, there's a cost. And that's because when we're making a choice, we're actually making two decisions. We're deciding what we want, but we're also deciding what we don't want. And in that moment, we have to leave what we don't want behind, sometimes forever. And that's hard for us to do. I think that if we were all really honest, we would admit we're not choosing truth all the time, are we? We're not choosing it 100% of the time. But why? Why would we ever settle for lies? I think there's a lot of reasons, but one of them is that sometimes we just don't know the truth. Sometimes we're just on autopilot. You know, we've been believing lies so long that it just automatically happens. And sometimes we just simply don't like the truth because the lie is more fun and it's easier. But for whatever reason, I'm telling you, whatever reason it may be that we are choosing lies, it's not what God wants for us. God wants us to choose truth, which really means he wants us to choose him. And it blows my mind thinking about the fact that he made that decision because he really could have just created us as robots. It would have been a lot easier on him and a whole lot less mess if we just always did what was good. But the maker of heaven and earth chose, he made a choice to give us choice, which makes me see that there is a divine purpose in our freedom to choose. It also shows me that it was worth the cost. Because when you really think about it, it was our freedom, humanity's freedom to choose, that ultimately nailed Jesus to the cross. It's a costly gift. And I can't even really fathom what the heavens were thinking when God first put that final slide out there for Adam and Eve, when he put that truth or lie slide out there. Because it was in that moment that he actually put himself on the slide. Let's take a look at that for a second in Genesis. Just as a refresher, I'm going to read from Genesis 1, 26 through 30. Thank you so much. It says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps like this stand on the earth." So, sound effects. I'm going to try to stop doing that. Okay, put your hands down. creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, you shall have it for food. So everything's going well up to now. Adam and Eve have choice. They can choose, but the only options are an herb or a different herb, or a fruit and another fruit, or what to do with all these animals. But then things change. And I'm going to read that part in Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This is one of the most controversial things our God ever did. People question this all the time. It's like, Lord, why did you create that dumb tree? Why the tree? Why? Because God wanted his children to choose him. And in order to freely choose him, there had to be an option. Without an option, there's no freedom. And so when God introduced that tree for the first time, he was actually introducing the very first not God option. And it had to be there in order for Adam and Eve and really us to be able to freely love him. Because love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love is a decision of the will. Love is a choice. And so that's when the stage was set. Everything was out on the table. Would God's children choose him or not? And that's really what it's all about, even today. And the enemy, seeing his opportunity, decided to take the gift that God gave his children and use it against him. And he's been doing it ever since. And how does he do that? How does he use our freedom to choose against God? Well, any way that he can. But really, it's just one not God choice at a time. Just one not God choice. Just one more. Just one more not God choice. And before long, we realize we are really far away from God. And the enemy wants to get us away from God because he knows very well, whether we know it or not, how amazingly precious humanity is to God. He knows how much we matter. And his goal is really to lead us so far away that we would spend eternity in hell. But if he can't get us there, he'll settle for as much daily hell as he can bring us, won't he? He'll settle for that. He wants us to get so far away that we're lost. But God wants us found. And the interesting thing is that you and I are the deciding agent here. We get to choose. We have the freedom to do that. And God asks us every day, what will you choose? And we saw that at first in the garden there. We saw him put it out there, the first God or not God option. We see it again here really clearly in Deuteronomy. And I love this. This is Moses talking to the Israelites after they have been through the wilderness. And he's kind of recapping all the amazing things that God has done, all the fun manna and everything, and he's reminding them of God's laws, and he wants to remind them of this too. This is Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. And he says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and you're drawn away and you worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. life and death, blessing and cursing. And we have those same options every day. And I was reading recently as I was studying for this that and found this crazy fact that adults make on average 35,000 conscious choices a day. Isn't that crazy? 35,000 conscious choices a day. And then I was thinking, well, I'm 47, and I haven't been an adult all that long, but if I tried to really start adding up how many choices have I made up to now, it's a pretty crazy number. But I was kind of pondering it more, and I'm a little bit of a nerd sometimes when I ponder things, and there were some things that really stuck out to me. And I was thinking about the fact that me being here tonight is the sum total of all the choices I've ever made in my life. One choice plus another got me here. And then I was thinking, oh, same thing for you. One choice, like, go figure. One choice after another brought you here tonight too. And I don't know about you, but I just kind of thought about that for a second and I thought, our paths are crossing as the sum total of our choices tonight and this weekend for such a time as this. And something about that just hits me in my heart. There's something I just feel like, Lord, what do you want to do with that? Because all the choices you and I have ever made brought us to the same place. And it makes me wonder, what are the choices we make when we leave here going to do? Where are they going to take us? And then I was thinking, you know, it's really up to us. We get to choose that too. And I think there's kind of only a couple of options when you just really clear the table and simplify it. We can look at our lives 20 years down the road, and if the Lord hasn't returned, and think, where do I want to be? I can decide, I want to journey through my life, and I want to end up in the God destination, the place he wants me. Or, option two, I can journey through my life and end up in the not God destination. And the not God destination is really broad. There's a lot of options in there, and the God destination is much more narrow. But we get to choose that. It depends on where we want to go. And when I was thinking about it, you know, I'm thinking, okay, that's going to be a lot of not God choices, right? Every single day to get to that God destination. I'm going to be presented, you're going to be presented with a lot of choices. Do you want God or not God? And some of the choices we make, you know, when we make a decision, the choice we make has just small ripples in our lives. It's not really a big deal, like whether I have grape nuts or bran flakes for breakfast. So if you're worrying about that and sitting in front of your pantry ever just praying trepidatiously, like, I give you freedom to stop that. Just choose one. It's going to be small ripples. But there are other choices that we make that actually can be game changers. And in my life, I was thinking about, there have been several choices I've made that were definitely game changers, for the better or for the worse. But there's a certain category kind of option that I've been given over the years that I see really changes my life. And that is when I'm presented with this decision, TC, what will you believe? Or really, who will you believe? And you know what's sad is that for most of my life, when presented with the God or not God option, I chose not God. And that, I'm just going to call that the world or man. And it wasn't even necessarily that I was consciously doing it. It wasn't like I woke up every day and said, I don't want to choose you. But I was kind of on autopilot, just doing the automatic thing of looking at this world and its standards and its definitions and its value system and automatically assuming that I needed to meet that. And then over time seeing that there's no way I can reach those standards. I can't get there. I can't get thin enough or whatever. I just can't. And so that just led to me feeling like I was just never enough. And very depressed and all the other yucky stuff that, you know, we can feel. But then over time, a beautiful thing started happening. I started getting to know the Lord more. I maybe chose him a few more times. And he began to start revealing things to me, pulling blinders off my eyes just one at a time. where I was beginning to see this world's value system a little more clearly, kind of seeing what was really behind the curtain here, so to speak. Like, what is all of this anyway? And I was looking at the world's value system, and I was thinking about what this world holds dear, kind of what's currency for our world, what spends around here. And well, we know money does, right? Money definitely spends. Money is very important to our world. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I like money. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather have money than not have money. Wouldn't you? But I was thinking about, you know, currency is only as valuable as what backs it. You all know that? Like, the paper isn't worth anything. It's what is backing that currency that matters. And so I'm thinking about money in my life, and if I had money, and what would back that? How strong, how solid is the backing of that money? And I realize, you know what? That is such a temporary thing, because when I go to the grave, that money can't go with me. It's not going any further than that. And even if somebody really decided they wanted to shove dollar bills in my casket, which would be weird, but if they wanted to do it, that money would turn to dust with me. And so I was thinking, well, I guess what backs money is dust. And then I was thinking about something else that this world values, what spends, and I was thinking about power and position and platform. Boy, those are really big, really big. You know, if you've got 1,000 likes as soon as you post your profile picture, you have got it going on in this world. If you didn't know that, now you do. But even if I built this huge platform, when I had a bunch of initials after my name and a lot of power, when they put me in the grave, that can't go any further either. It's over. And so, what backs power, position, and platform? Dust. And then here's the big one. This is the carte blanche of spending power in our world. Physical beauty. If you have physical beauty, everything parts for you, you know? Like, come on in, you know? Does everybody agree that physical beauty? Okay, thank you. If you've got physical beauty in this world, that really spends. Like, that's very highly valued around here. But you know what's crazy about that? Is that this is the only part of us that's going to turn to dust. This right here, pinch it. Pinch your arm. I call this stored energy. You might call it fat, but I have stored energy. This right here, that part of you, you can stop pinching yourself now. That is the only part of you that's going to turn to dust. And what I find really disheartening and kind of sad is that that's the part of us the enemy loves to get us to focus on the most. He'll do whatever he can to cause us to think about what we're putting in it, what we're putting on it, what we're doing to it. And I wonder sometimes if we could put a bar graph, if we could make a bar graph of everything we think, or like this whole room, what if we bar graphed all of our thoughts? Wonder how tall the bar would be that represents worrying about our body, worrying about this part. It kind of makes me take a breath in, because you know as well as I do that bar is going to be way higher than pretty much anything else. Isn't it? It's really sad. But again, physical beauty, what's backing that? We know that's turning to dust. In fact, it starts sagging first and then getting softer, and then it turns to dust. And I love the Lord when he drops a really sweet analogy in for me to kind of really seal the deal. And as I was thinking about how weak this world's currency is, he said, yeah, TC, it's kind of like this stuff. Can you see it? What is it? Monopoly money. Now, can you imagine if I took these lovely orange bills to Target and I put all my goods on the counter? I selected very carefully, I mean, hours, making sure I had the right things to buy, and I came to the counter and I just slapped one of these lovely orange bills down. Here you go. You can even keep the change. They're going to look at me like I've lost my mind. Or what if I decided to take this to the bank? You know, this is $2,000. $2,000. And I take it to the bank, and then I fill out my deposit slip and then just set it there on the counter. And yeah, I bet you wish you could deposit $2,000 in one sitting. No, ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's not real. That's not real. What? This money, this little orange money, is only good in one circumstance. When is this valuable? When I'm playing Monopoly. This is only valuable when I'm playing Monopoly. And it was like it dawned on me, wow. The Lord was like, TC, this world's currency, it's like Monopoly money. It's only good when you're playing the game. It's only good when you're playing the game by the game's rules and by the game's definitions. And you know what's so weird and crazy about our world is it doesn't even know what its rules are. And its definitions constantly change, and not for the better most of the time. Just let's take beauty, just one category, beauty. In our world right now, in our country, the definition of beauty would be young, thin, and hairless. If I travel the world right now, just around the globe a little bit, I could land in a place. There is a place, I Googled it. It does exist, like a tribal community where I found it. I searched hard, but it's a place where really large women are considered beautiful. In fact, they send their little girls to fattening up farms, which is actually tragic because it's very abusive. At first I thought, man, I want to go there. But then I read about how they force feed. I mean, they literally force feed their girls to make them so plump. So here it's thin, there it's plump. There's places where if you put a big metal plate in your lip, that's beautiful. If your neck is really long, y'all seen the National Geographic, you remember the lady with all the big metal rings. That's beauty to them. But even in our country, if you go back just a few decades, you can Google this too, there were ads in the paper that said, men don't like skinny women. Buy this new fat, this new weight gainer product and gain 5 to 10 pounds in a week, guaranteed. And then I thought, gosh, I was really born out of my time. No. So, you know, it can't even make up its mind on the definition of one thing, beauty, our world. And so its currency is backed by dust. It can't make up its mind. That's not the real money that we want. We want to look at what our God values. What is his currency? His currency is love, love for each other, love for him, love for ourselves, mercy and justice and humility. These are the things that have eternal ramifications that bless heaven. Heaven rejoices when they see this. This will go on with us. And I love this. Let me read out of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. We all know this. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are higher. They're much, much higher. And I love this verse out of Job as well in chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. It says, can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? His ways are higher than the heaven. What can you do? I love the way that ends. What can you do? What God values is backed by him, by his very nature. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He backs it with himself, what he values. So the world is telling me, TC, you're old and somebody spilled cottage cheese on your legs. And God is telling me, I think your legs are really cute and you're just getting started. The world says I'm virtually worthless. And God says, I am worth the price that was paid for me. And it was a high price. And it was the same price that was paid for you. So which one would I want? Cottage cheese legs. Treasure. I think I'm going to choose God. The one who loves me unconditionally. the one who heals my broken heart and longs to give me good gifts and forgives me when I'm a hot mess day after day. His mercies are new. That's the one I want to choose. And you know, he does all of that for you too. And I wonder, what's the world telling you guys tonight? What's the message that ruminates through your mind sometimes? Is it that you are a failure? You constantly blow it? You're never going to get it right? God's holding out on you? Everyone else is going to get a blessing, but not you? Or maybe it's like mine, you're fat and ugly. Yes, we can laugh at that. It's stupid that the world says that. You're fat and ugly, and you're a failure. Whatever the world is telling you, it's not what God's telling you. This is what he's telling you. You're my favorite. I adore you. I want to bless you, not because of your goodness, but because of my own. I've planned good things for you. I planned your life. You are not a mistake. If you think that you're a mistake tonight, you're not. God planned your life. He puts us in families. So what do you believe? We can choose this world and its fickle and fading and fleshly stuff, or God and his eternal things. A world that says we're never enough, and a God that tells us that we're his treasure, his own special people, a holy nation. Why would we ever want anything different, you know? How many of you do believe lies sometimes? You can raise your hand. Yeah, I figured. Why do we ever do that? Why? Why do we ever pick the lie, which is the not God choice? I think sometimes it's because we just don't know the truth, right? Sometimes we don't know. But there's an answer for that. We can find it. There's a good remedy for that. Go find the truth. Pick up a Bible. Read it. Ask some trusted friends what other good books you could be reading. Dig until you find it. I'm going to tell you what. We have a faith that has amazing answers. They're very rational. They're very, very solid. And it is fun to find them. If you don't think you know the truth, search for it. And also ask the Holy Spirit. Because in John 16:13, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit. That's what we need when we're wondering what the truth is. Pray for him. God longs to give the Holy Spirit to his kids when we ask. But maybe we're on autopilot, like I was for many years. Maybe you're on autopilot. You just automatically go to the lie. It's the thing you just kind of do. That's called the stronghold, by the way, when we're in autopilot. But I want you to know that what we've been shown is that we aren't victims of that. You're not a victim of the autopilot lie. You don't have to keep believing that because we've been given the freedom to choose. So what we have to do is we have to slow things down sometimes. You know, where we've just automatically done this. I automatically, when I look in the mirror, oh, you're fat and ugly. Okay, have a good day. You know, if that's my autopilot, I need to stop for a minute and really ask the Lord to highlight to me when I'm believing thoughts that are not him. And he will do it. We have to put the brakes on, so to speak, and kind of look at these things. This is what it's called, taking thoughts captive. Stop a minute. Grab that thing. Stick it under a glass jar. That's what I imagine, like a bug that's flailing around trying to breathe and no oxygen. I guess I'll stop before that gets weird, really weird. Take that thought captive. Stare it down. Ask it, do you obey Christ? And if it doesn't, you're out. Now, I have another activity I want you to try just real quick. I want you to imagine a hamburger. This is something my mom taught me. I'm smiling at her because can you imagine it? I mean, anyone having trouble imagining a hamburger right now? Okay, good. Now, very quickly, I want you to think of a hot dog. Were you able to do it? Anyone have trouble? So what that shows us is that not only can we choose, we have actively good, capable choosers, we also have changers. That we can be thinking something and we can change it. We can change our minds. We can renew our minds. So no need to stay in the mental ruts. It's like when we've gone on autopilot for so long, we've created these mental ruts. And sometimes what you need to do to get out of it is press on the gas as hard as you can and yank the wheel to the right. Get out of that thing. Whatever it takes. But one other reason that we sometimes will keep choosing the lies is because we don't like the truth. Sometimes we really like our sin. Sometimes we know the truth, but the lie is just so much more fun. And you know what? We are allowed to pick it. You're allowed to choose that. We can stay there if we want to. It's not a good place to be. But sometimes we don't like the truth because it seems like an insecure place to us. We know we're believing a lie, but it's safe. At least we know what to expect with this, right? The truth switching gears here, it's so unpredictable. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm going to stay in this safe little lie where I know it's miserable and, you know, but I know what it's going to be. Or sometimes we just stick with the lie because we know what the cost is going to be. We know that the Father's going to ask us to turn our back on something and leave it behind. He's going to ask us to give up that thing that we've been holding on to, and we're not ready to do it. I'm going to tell you what, though. Every place in my life that I have made the brave decision, I'm not going to downplay it, because sometimes it takes incredible courage to let go of what's been comfortable to us and choose truth. Sometimes it's not easy. In fact, I feel like that's where the warrior moments happen in the kingdom of God. In those moments where we say, I think I'm going to trust you now, and we let go. Every time I've done that, in every area of my heart, in relationships, in work things, in different sin issues, whenever I've said, okay, I'm ready, I've never been disappointed. Never. He's shown up every single time. He's come in and he's made things better than I could have ever imagined. He's just that big. Look at, he made that, the stars and the heavens. And when I say, you know what, I'm going to let go of this lie, he's so excited about it. He's so at the ready. And sometimes all he wants us to do is just turn ever so slightly toward him. And do you know that when we turn from lies, that's called repentance? That's repentance, the turning. And sometimes we just turn a little bit and he's like, I got you. His grace just comes and carries us the rest of the way. I love it when he does that. Sometimes he asks us to step by step by step turn all the way around to him, because he's using that to grow us up and to make us stronger. But I've never, ever regretted giving God full access to my heart. My husband was telling me that when I was talking to him about this, what came to his mind was a visual of like mailboxes. Like, I don't know if it's still done this way or not, but if you worked at the post office and you had the key, instead of just opening up one or two of those little mailbox slots, the master key just opens them all up. Just give them. Why don't we just give it all to God? Open up every part of you, every part of your heart, and give it to him. But whatever the reason you might be, I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if there's something coming to your mind right away, like I know where I'm choosing, not God. Whatever the reason may be, I hope that you will be able to look at that not God choice and see the monopoly money. That you'll be able to see it more clearly and go, why am I even trying to spend that stuff? It's not real. It's not lasting. I want to go to the God destination. I want to make it there. And you know what? You can make that a lot easier on yourself by surrounding yourself with people who want to get to the God destination too. You want to think higher, choose higher, get friends in your life and people in your life that will pull you up higher. Surround yourself with people that are just as on, you know, wanting to do the God thing. And also, because when you have just neutral friends, sometimes we think the neutral friends are fine, but they're just neutral. They're not doing us really any good either, but the ones that are pulling us down, we definitely know we don't need to have so many of those. But the incredible help comes from God himself. Because think about this, what all God does. He saves us by his grace. He finishes the good work he's begun. He holds the earth in just the right place so that humanity can survive. He's got the oxygen level just so. If it was off ever so slightly, we'd all just die. He's keeping it all together for us. He even has the future totally secure for us. What is he asking us to do? Choose. He's asking us to choose. Choose him. I know this weekend, we're going to be presented with truth. You're going to be presented with truth tomorrow, and maybe even in the car on the way home tonight. You're going to be presented with it. And then we're going to have a choice. God or not God. For some of us, it might be that God wants you to choose him for the very first time in your life. You might be in here tonight, someone brought you here, and you've never even made that decision. He might say, will you choose me? Will you choose the free gift of my son? Because I really want you to be back in my arms. I want us to be reconciled. Or it might be that he holds out to you confidence in Christ that you've never had, and he says, hey, do you want my confidence? You're going to have to get rid of that insecurity, though. It might be that. Or he might set a table before you of a banquet of hope. But he's going to say, come sit at this table, but don't wear that garment of despair. Leave that at the door. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? He's such a good, good God. When I think about it and I really just go there in my heart, it makes me sad that when I don't choose him, it makes me sad that there's people that don't choose him because he's just so good. So I hope that while you're here tomorrow or even tonight on the way home, if you hear that little voice say, my sweet, sweet daughter, I want you. Will you choose me? I hope that you will. I hope that you will. It could be life-changing. It could be exactly what you were hoping you came for this weekend. We all come to these retreats with something we're hoping we can get. Lord, I hope you'll touch this. I hope you'll touch that. That choice might be the key. Let's choose higher together. Let's use our gift that our Father gave us to honor him and totally disappoint the enemy. You want to do that with me?
Yeah.
I am going to close, I'm going to read a prayer that I wrote. This is a prayer in the book that I wrote, and this is a prayer that I wrote when I totally threw away a big chunk of my Monopoly money, the biggest chunk of my Monopoly money, and this is what it says. Father God, I am so sorry for all the years I called you a liar. I know now that I was hurting you greatly, and I ask you to forgive me for that. You have loved me so tenderly, so completely, and I choose to believe you. I turn away from believing the lies of the enemy, from believing that what you have created is a mistake. I turn from believing that what you made is malformed or ugly. I turn from believing my value is determined by anything other than what you say. I am your beloved daughter, an adored princess. Help me, Father, to remember that always. Please come quickly if I ever forget that. From this moment on, I refuse to put the world's opinions above yours, thinking that beauty is what it deems. You say I am beautiful, and that is my truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Wow, that was incredible. To close tonight, I just want to give an opportunity, if there are any women that would really desire to have somebody to pray with tonight. So I'm just asking if Marcia, Denise, Melinda, and Susan, if we'd have two over on this side and two on that side. I just don't want to miss an opportunity if any of you would like to pray. Apart from that, wow, really, another hand of applause, right? Was that incredible, you guys? I'm so thankful. Thank you, worship team, Allison, TC. What a good word to leave with. I'm just going to pray real quick and just do a couple of housekeeping things. But Father God, first and foremost, we're asking by your Spirit that you would flash decision in front of us. Rather than being set on autopilot, that you literally would flash in our heart or in our mind, decision, decision, to get us out of that rut, in fact, in Jesus' name. Amen.